God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. I wish I knew what you said. I wish I knew Spanish. Sometimes. Oh, praise God. Well, I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for this time we get to spend to you, Father. We thank you for all that you've given to us. And right now, we just lift up your glory, Father, that you speak through us tonight. And you speak your words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to start reading in a book called Acts. And I'm going to read we're going to start in Acts chapter 3. And how many of you here want to be with Jesus? Amen, right? Okay, turn this on. If we can turn it on. That'd be all right. We all want to be with Jesus, amen? Okay. I'm going to read Acts chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read a couple verses, and if you could just listen or read along, that's great. And so chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. I'm reading from the Amplified, the ninth hour, which is around 3 p.m. And a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried along, and whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms from those entering the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking them for coins. But Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, "Look at us." And the man began to pay attention to them, eagerly expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name, authority, power of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, begin now to walk and go on walking." Then he seized the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once his feet and ankles became strong and steady. And with a leap he stood up and began to walk. And he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the very man who usually sat begging for coins at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement and were mystified at what had happened to him. I read this story because I think what happened after that, we're going to read on, but I think what happened after that, I think this story is amazing. It shows us a miracle, one of the first miracles after Jesus had risen, and it wasn't Jesus who did the miracle, it was Peter and John. And I think it's interesting because what happens after this is very interesting because I think it challenges us as the church. I think it challenges us as the body of Christ in this, right? So in the first verse, they're going, well, let's just look at it this way. Peter and John are normal people, yes? Normal people. And every day at a certain time, they probably go to the temple to pray. So they were just going about their usual day, doing it as what they usually do. But something was different this day. And that's, I think, what is interesting. Their normal day-to-day activity was going to the temple at 3 o'clock praying. Today was a different day. And I think this is interesting. So in verse 1, they go to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock, right? And then verse 2, there's a man there who was always lame, who was always there. So they pass this guy every day, right? And so what is different about today than yesterday or the day before or the day before or the day before or the day before? Or later on, it says that this guy was about 40 years old, so years before. What's different today and what's different, as I think, is what's interesting, and I believe that it's what challenges us as a body of Christ, as believers. If we go to chapter 4, verse 22, it says here, for the man to whom this sign, attesting of the miracle of healing, had happened to was more than 40 years old. And before we read that he was there every day at the beautiful gate trying to receive alms. And so I just want to try and put a picture into that and make you ask a question. What was different about today? For Peter and John, what was different about this day than other days? And I believe what's different is what we have to come into as the body of Christ. And Peter and John, as they walked through the temple, as they walked up to the temple, they're ordinary men. Yes, they're ordinary people, okay? And in Acts chapter 4, I'm just going to point this out real quick. You don't have to turn there. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says that the Sanhedrin, when they were in front of the Sanhedrin, they looked like uneducated and untrained ordinary men. So that would be like an ordinary person, I suppose to say, right? They weren't the schooled people, as you could say. They weren't the uppity people. They weren't the people in major seats in the government or in wherever, right? They were just ordinary, uneducated, untrained people, so it says, right? And so, but in verse 13, if you read on in that particular section, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they saw the boldness, and they were perceived in the beginning to be ordinary men, but the people that saw the miracle had to wonder, had to marvel at what just happened. Because what used to happen only happened, certain people had to be there, certain things had to happen. And they marveled because they saw that these people were untrained, ordinary men, and you could not doubt that this miracle occurred because it was right there for them to see, and he took the guy followed them into the temple. Everybody saw this guy who was lame and begging for alms, who was 40 years old, who could have been doing it for years and years and years. Everybody passed him by and maybe brought him some money, maybe didn't bring him money, but saw him every day. Now they saw him walking. So they couldn't refute the miracle that occurred. But they saw that these two men that did it were uneducated or untrained, right? And so this caused the people and the Sanhedrin to marvel at what had happened. In that time, the thought process was that unlearned men or uneducated men just didn't do extraordinary things. They were ordinary men and they were doing ordinary things. And they would wake up every day, eat their breakfast, eat their meals, do their chores, go to work, engage in their daily routine, return home, and do more ordinary things. And some, maybe they took a trip that might have been out of the ordinary. They went to a game or whatever it is they did out of the ordinary, and maybe that occurs. But most people, and if we look at it from our lives, are we similar to Peter and John? We might go around doing ordinary things, going to work, getting up, going to breakfast, getting to work, doing ordinary things at work, coming back home, doing ordinary things at home, doing our chores, mowing the lawn, et cetera, right? Ordinary things. Sometimes we go on a trip, sometimes we go to a game, sometimes we do this and do that, sometimes we do things, and sometimes we don't. And so when the lame man looked on these two ordinary men who were Galileans, he asked for what he expected ordinary men to give him. He asked for alms. A very ordinary request from an ordinary person to what he thought might be ordinary people. So he expected to get silver and gold. And so as the story goes, you know that Peter and John, we don't have any silver and gold, but what we do have, and I think this is, we're going to look at it a little bit later. A very ordinary request of an ordinary person who expect an ordinary thing, silver and gold. So what we have to ask ourselves is, to this man, is that all that life is about? Ordinary things, daily routine, ordinary expectations. Is that what life is about? The world, or you could say the lame world, that's a little pun with the lame man, the lame world would look at us expecting nothing more than ordinary. But that's just on the outside. A disciple of Christ is much more. Amen? You are not mere men. You are not mere women. Paul talks about this. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 3. I'm going to read from the Amplified. You are still worldly, controlled by ordinary impulses and sinful capacity. For as long as there is jealousy and strife and discord among you, you are not unspiritual, and you are not walking like ordinary men. And so what we're seeing is that Paul points this out, and he addresses here in the Corinthian church that that they're walking as men. But we have to understand that if we are a Christ believer, we have something on the inside that allows us not to walk like men. Amen? A question that I come to, and I write things down, and how often do we become slackers in what it is we're supposed to do? How often is it that we allow our carnal nature, our man, to direct our ordinary life, to direct our walk, rather than being more than conquerors through Christ? How often do we become slackers in our life, living the ordinary life, when Christ calls us to be extraordinary? How often did Peter and John walk by the gate and walk past this man, knowing that they could do something, but they chose not to? Knowing that they were going to walk like ordinary men into an ordinary situation, but this day they chose to do the extraordinary instead of the ordinary. As a testimony to the rulers and the elders and the scribes, they took knowledge, if we go back to Acts chapter 4, they took note that these two men were not ordinary men. They took note that these two men did something that they have not seen before. And so if we look at chapter 4, verse 13, and I'm going to read a little bit, verse 13 through 20, let's say that. Now when the men of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John and grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained men, ordinary men, as the Amplified puts it, they were astounded and began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. Now, and seeing the man who had been healed standing there with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But after ordering them to step out of the council chamber, they began to confer amongst themselves, saying, "What are we to do with these men? For the fact that an extraordinary miracle has taken place through them in public is public knowledge and clearly evident to all the residents of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it." Verse 17 says, "But to keep it from spreading among the people and the nation, let us sternly warn them not to speak again to anyone in this name." So they sent for them and commanded them not to speak as his representatives or to teach at all in the name of Jesus, using him as their authority. But Peter and John replied, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you and obey you rather than God, you must judge for yourself. For we, on our part, cannot stop telling people about what we have seen and heard." Now, I say that because there's a question there. There's a few questions here that the Sanhedrin asked, and it says this. The question is here in Acts 4, verse 7. It says that, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Well, we all know the answer. Verse 10, chapter 4 says, "The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Now, if we went back to verse 12, I'm going to just refer there. You can look at verse 12, but if we refer to chapter 4, verse 12, back in that same chapter, it says that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So there's no other name, no other power that can be used. And so what was the response of the Sanhedrin? The response is, we must warn these men not to use the name of Jesus, right? And Peter and John responded and said, "Well, whether it's right to believe you over God or to listen to you over God, that's up to you to decide. But we've already decided that we're going to listen to God. And we're not going to refute and we're not going to stop talking about the things that we've seen, these extraordinary things." And the funny thing is that these leaders, they couldn't refute it. They couldn't say that it didn't happen. They couldn't come out in public and say, "Oh, these guys are liars." And we couldn't do that because everybody saw this 40-year-old lame man who was laying there, has been there every day asking for alms, get up and walk. Everybody saw it. They couldn't deny it. And so the cool thing is that these Sanhedrin people said, "Who are you? You look like ordinary people. By what power did you do this? By whose name did you do this?" And they said, "Jesus. Jesus. The one that we crucified? Jesus?" And so they recognized that those men have been with Jesus. And I think that's a challenge for the church today. Are we that recognizable that we are with Jesus? Am I recognized by what I do that I'm with Jesus? Or is it just that I'm recognized that, oh, he's the teacher at the school, or he goes to that church? But what these people recognized is that the power of God healed a man. They were ordinary men, but they had something on the inside that was extraordinary. Amen? So I think that we have to understand that being with Jesus does something to a man, woman, a person, right? Does something to a man. Being with Jesus, this makes an ordinary thing become extraordinary. Amen? This being with Jesus, it turns water into wine. Amen? Being with Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds 5,000 people. Being with Jesus makes tax cheats and robbers honest men. Amen? Being with Jesus makes a sinful woman pure. Being with Jesus makes cowards become death-defying and become unafraid. And I'm not just talking about biblical stories. You read stories all the time about people being healed and people doing extraordinary things. Being with Jesus is what makes it able for these extraordinary things. Being with Jesus does something on the inside of you. We may just be earthly vessels or earthly things, but what's inside of us is heavenly. Amen? I want to turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to turn to chapter 4. You follow along, I'm going to read 5. 5 through 7, I'm going to read. It says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves merely as a bondservant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and majesty of God, clearly revealed in the face of Christ. But," Paul says here, "but we have this precious treasure in earthly vessels." So that means you have this treasure inside of you, so that the grandeur and the greatness of the power will be shown from God and not from ourselves. So we all are beholding the glory of God. We are changed into the same image of God, the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. We see here ordinary men going out what looks to be like an ordinary day and doing something extraordinary. We see an ordinary world going about its ordinary business with its ordinary lameness, and sometimes we accept that as fact. And sometimes I think that on the inside of us, we know that we should be doing something, but we are comfortable. This is coming from me, and sometimes when I'm outside and I see things in the world, I know I'm supposed to be doing something, but I don't. And then later on, you're kicking yourself in the butt saying, I should have. I needed to do that. I should have done that. I was supposed to do that. However, you and I, by the Spirit of the Lord, have this extraordinary thing inside of us, just like Peter and John. And I think sometimes we're like the Hulk, you know, like the Hulk from, you know, I don't know, the old TV show with Lou Ferrigno and then the new Hulk movies that come out, right, with the Avengers and whatnot. I think we're a lot like that because on the outside is a frail human body, a frail vessel. But on the inside, when sparked, is something that is unstoppable. On the outside, going about our normal day, think about Peter and John, going about their normal day, going to pray, but then something stirs them. Something sparks what's on the inside, and the unstoppable comes out and heals this lame man. Amen? Amen. The church as a whole, today might seem ordinary, like everybody's doing the kind of same thing. You go here, you come in, you go out, every two, this and this and this, right? It might seem very ordinary as a whole. You may have seen or been with Billy Graham, and you might be ordinary, right? You may have been at T.D. Jakes' church and Joel Osteen and Rick Warren and might be at Oral Roberts and Benny Hinn and MacArthur and any of these big name people. And what we have to understand is those people are ordinary people on the outside, but on the inside is something more powerful and unstoppable. And that's sometimes you have to think about how do these people get to where they're at? Or what is driving them? And I'm not saying these people are perfect. I'm just saying that miracles work through them, and why, and how. They're ordinary people, just like Peter and John. But what is it? It's on the inside, and these people, the people that we see maybe who write books or have miracle camps at their church and things happen at their churches and at the rallies and at their conventions and whatnot, why are things happening? Well, it's just an ordinary day, and something stirs them, and whatever is unstoppable on the inside comes out. And people talk about it, and they can't refute it. Amen? Being with Jesus is more than ordinary. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know and understand that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you? Look at us. Look at me. Look at people. Look at us, right? We are the temple of God. It says here, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. I may not have what you expect sometimes. People around us might not have what you expect all the time. Just like the man who wanted the alms was looking for silver and gold. But what we do have is the power of Christ. What we do have is the Spirit of God on the inside. What we do have is more powerful than silver or gold. What we do have is more permanent than silver and gold. Being with Jesus offers a permanent fix. Being with Jesus offers us things that we can't get from the world. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 27 and through 29. Being with Jesus means that your life is not as ordinary as you or as other people might seem to think it is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29 says, God, in his eternal plan, chose to make known to them how great the Gentiles are, the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in and among you, the hope and the guarantee of glory. We proclaim him, warning and instructing everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. For I labor, striving with his power and energy, which so greatly works within me. Being with Jesus means that our life is extraordinary. Amen? Being with Jesus gives us boldness to respond when questioned about our faith. Peter and John, when questioned about their faith, they stood up with boldness and spoke with boldness. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to go back and forth from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 says, and now observe their threats and grant that your bondservant may declare your message with great confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant and son, Jesus. And I'm going to read it again because it says that, and now, Lord, observe their threats and grant your bondservants, that's us, that's you, that's me, our bondservants of Christ, right? And grant that your bondservants may declare your message with great confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders attesting miracles take place through the name of your holy servant and son, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken, a sign of God's presence, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak a word of God with boldness and courage. Amen? Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, and Peter writes here, but in your hearts set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance that is within you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear so that every time you are slandered or falsely accused, that those who attack or disparage your good behavior in Christ will be shamed by their own words. Being with Jesus gives us the boldness to respond to questions when we're questioned about our faith and the things that we do. But Peter here writes, make sure we keep our conscience clean. Right? Being with Jesus means that you have something different from the world. You have something on the inside of you that is different from something in the world. And that makes you stand out. And that makes you be out there as a presence. But that also, I think, makes you a magnet. It makes you a magnet for people who need help. It makes us a refuge place, a person to lean on, an ear to listen to, somebody who needs advice, a voice for that person, a way that we can help them correct their life. And that boldness to speak comes from the inside, comes from being with Jesus. Excuse me. We have a unique union with Christ, a unique bond with Christ. When we become believers in Christ, when you become a believer in Christ, you have a mutual dependency on Christ. He depends on you to be his hands and feet. And we depend on him for salvation, for all of the benefits, I suppose you could say, of being a believer. Amen? So it's a mutual dependence. There's a spiritual union. There's a vital union where Christ dwells within us and is the power for our life. And it's a permanent union. The relationship can never be dissolved because Christ is always there. God is always there. God is always here. There's a quote that I came across, and I'm gonna give it to you, and I'm gonna read it. And if God is omnipresent, he's all around, yes, then God never goes away. Then God is always here. Then God is always by your side. So the quote I read, and I thought it was interesting. I said, we cannot. I'll just read it. We cannot attain the presence of God. We're already in the presence of God. What's absent sometimes is us. God lives here. When we accept God, he's already here. God is all around us already. The union between us and Christ and the power that is within you, God is already there with you. He never leaves you. But what happens, and I believe what this quote is trying to say, is that sometimes we leave him. We stop being aware of his presence. We start to think that we are everything and forget and be absent that he's there, as if I would ignore you. We ignore God. He's still there. Sometimes when our kids are yapping away and we just do go along with what we're doing, we're ignoring them, right? And that's, I think, what God is saying. God is trying to tell us what to do, trying to give us the right things to say. God is trying to push us in the right direction. God is trying to make our ordinary life extraordinary, and we have blinders. We have blinders. And I want to go back to Acts chapter 4. A couple more scriptures, a couple more things. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were ordinary people that did an extraordinary thing. They went about their ordinary lives. Most of us have jobs. Most of us have things to do, chores at home, and things that we do on a daily basis. So did Peter and John. They had to go to prayer at 3 o'clock at the temple, as they did every day. But they chose this day to become extraordinary. And so I think that we're challenged, and I'm challenging you, I'm challenging myself, to be the extraordinary as Peter and John, that in our life, in our daily routine, look for those extraordinary opportunities to become extraordinary. As Peter and John said here in chapter 4, verse 18, it says, so the Sanhedrin, they sent for them and commanded them not to speak as the representatives or teach at all in, this name, in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied to them, well, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you or obey you rather than God, you judge. But for us, on my part, I cannot stop telling people about what I've seen and heard. And the only thing we can do is listen to God our Father. The only thing we can do is follow Jesus Christ. Nobody should be able to tell you to stop talking about the good things that are there. You should not. I sing a song to my kids at night, every night, and it's This Little Light of Mine, right? When we choose to not be extraordinary, we are hiding our light. We are keeping it for ourselves. Peter and John, had the light inside of them, and they chose to, because they've been with Jesus, they know the miracles, they've seen the things, and they chose to now then live the light, to now then be the light, to they've been with Jesus, and now they chose to become extraordinary. So the question is, are you with Jesus? The question to me, when I was reading Acts chapter 4 yesterday, is that, am I really with Jesus? Am I being with Jesus? Because being with Jesus means that I'm extraordinary. It means that I can turn water into wine if necessary, right? That we with the power of Christ inside of us, we're extraordinary to make 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 people. That if we are with Jesus daily, if we're with Jesus as Peter and John are with Jesus, then we can make tax cheats and robbers honest people. Now, obviously, it's not us, but it's God through us. We are his hands and feet. He makes us extraordinary. If we're with Jesus, then we can make sinful people, we can show them, we can talk to them, we can do all of these things that Christ did, and well, Christ said we can do all things and more. And if Jesus did all these things because he walked extraordinarily, then we can use all of those gifts that God gave to us and walk extraordinarily. Amen? That's what we can do. That's, I believe, what we're called to do, is walk extraordinarily. Just as Peter and John. You walk by these people at your work every day, the same thing over and over again, but tomorrow will be different because tomorrow we're going to walk extraordinarily. Amen? Tomorrow will be different. We'll have the boldness from the Spirit of God that lives inside of you to walk extraordinarily, to be extraordinary, to be the hands and feet, to be the difference, to be the awesome wonder that people talk about through the Spirit of God working through you. Last scripture, let's turn to John, the book of John. I'm going to read some of Jesus' words that we probably should not forget. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take it to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you continually and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And on that day, when the time comes, you will know for yourself that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We need to understand that we have all of that inside of us. You have all of that inside of you. And may God speak to you each and every day so that you understand that he lives inside of you, so that we understand that he lives inside of us, and that we can live our lives as boldly as Jesus lived. That we can live, you can live your life as boldly as Peter and John did. That you can live so boldly that you can give what Peter and John gave. Amen? Amen. And all of that wraps up to say that God never leaves you and never forsakes you, never goes away from you. Abide in Jesus. Be in Jesus. Be in Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you as Peter and John, as all of the disciples through the book, through the years, through what's going on now, can work through you. You ain't got to be some big, well-to-do preacher. You ain't got to be some famous preacher on TV to have God work for you. You ain't got to be some preacher that writes books all the time that God works through you. All you got to do is be in Jesus. All you got to do is be in Jesus. And you'll see the power of God work through you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this night. We thank you, Lord, that we go about this week with boldness. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit speaks through us and brings us to situations in which we can give not merely silver and gold, but we can give the power of God to people. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for that. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good rest of the week. We'll see y'all on Saturday, hopefully, weather permitting. Praise God. Amen.